and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY25 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call of DDL Plastics Industries Limited, hosted by PhillipCapital PCG Desk. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Renuka from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital Private Client Group, I welcome all of you to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call of DDL Plastics Industries Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Narendra Surana, Managing Director; Mr. Dev Surana, CEO; Mr. Rajesh Kothari, Whole-time Director; and Mr. Arihan Bothra, CFO. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Surana for his opening remarks, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you.
Thank you, Renuka. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Quarter 2 half-yearly earnings call. Our investor presentation has been uploaded to the exchange, and we hope you have already got an opportunity to review it. As we reflect on this joyous celebration of Diwali and welcome the new year, I'd like to extend my heartfelt greetings to each one of you. I hope you all had a wonderful and joyous Diwali. We are pleased to announce that DDL Plastics has performed positively in the first half of the year, in line with the expectations. Our operating margins have sustained for the first half, reflecting our agility and success in navigating a dynamic market environment supported by a resilient domestic economy. At DDL Plastics, we are a team of curious and creative problem solvers dedicated to making a difference to innovation by moving up the value chain. Our R&D team is committed to exploring new technologies and processes to develop advanced products that truly impact our customers' lives. Additionally, our emphasis on continuous improvement and innovation has established us as one of the largest polymer compounders in India, with an established capacity of more than 283,400 metric tons per annum. A diverse portfolio is serving various industries and exporting to more than 50 countries. Analyzing the broad economic landscape, the demand environment across the sector remains strong. Following the General Assembly elections, government spending and infrastructure investment have increased and creating positive momentum. The government is expected to continue increasing its spending in the remaining months of the fiscal year to meet the budget targets, which will significantly boost growth. Additionally, the real estate market remains robust, supported by low inventory levels and rising prices and healthy project launches. First half has recorded the highest number of the new projects launches and sales over a decade. This ongoing activity will continue to drive demand for wires and cables in the coming years, contributing to the accelerated growth in the industry, which has also led to the growth and success of DDL Plastics, as we are India's largest producer of polymer compounds. At DDL, we are prepared to meet the rising demand trends in India. This commitment has allowed us to maintain our position as a leading player in the polymer compound sector, particularly in the production of cross-linked polyethylene XLPE compounds, which are essential for the power cable industry. Over time, we have developed an extensive portfolio across five categories. They are XLPE compounds, PVC compounds, engineering plastic compounds, anti-fire compounds, and halogen-free flame retardant compounds. We would also like to emphasize our leadership in XLPE Cypress compounds in India. Each of these categories plays a vital role in various applications ranging from food packaging to automotive components and electronics. Historically, our revenues have grown at a CAGR of 9% from financial year 2020 to 2024, and we anticipate continuing this growth trajectory at a CAGR of approximately 12%-15% with better margin and improved volume over the next 5 years. Now, I would like to invite Mr. Arihan Bothra for his remarks.
Thank you, Devji. Players in the cables and wire sectors are positioned for potential growth that could exceed twice the GDP rate, driven by rapidly expanding industries such as electric vehicles and solar power installations. The launch of the Pradhan Mantri Surya Uday Yojana in January 2024, which aims to install rooftop solar panels for 10 million homes, is anticipated to provide an additional boost to wire manufacturers and will also benefit compound manufacturers like us. Dave Plastic achieved net debt-free status in the last quarter of financial year 2024, and it is continuing to maintain this position into this current financial year also. We further reduced our finance cost by 23% over year-on-year basis to less than 5 crores this quarter. Despite facing challenges from erratic monsoon, severe flooding, and escalating conflict in the Middle East, which have significantly disrupted shipping routes and driven up the freight cost, we have managed to perform well financially. Having said that, on financial front, the quarterly financial highlights for this particular quarter are as below. Revenue from operations stood at 580 crores for this particular quarter. EBITDA stood at 68 crores, reflecting a 3% growth year-on-year basis with a margin of 12% on EBITDA basis. PAT had stood at 45 crores, growth of 6% year-on-year basis with a margin of close to 8% for this particular quarter. Now moving on to half-yearly results. Revenue from operations stood at 1206 odd crores for this particular first half of the year. EBITDA stood at 133 crores with 4% growth year-on-year basis with a margin of 11% in this particular first half. PAT stood at 87 odd crores with 9% growth year-on-year basis with a margin of 7% for the first half basis. As of September 2024, our installed capacity stood at 233,400 metric tons with a capacity utilization of 78% approximately. With this, I thank everyone and I again wish happy Diwali and happy New Year to everyone. From this, we request the chorus to open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Pritesh Sheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you give the volume performance for H1 and quarter 2?
In H1, we achieved 91,000 close to volumes, and Q2 is close to 45,000.
And how does it, in volume growth terms, how is it on a YOY basis?
Y on Y basis, for quarter, it's close to 3%. Whilst on annual, half-yearly basis, it's more than 11%.
Okay. And in this, in the half-yearly, what would be your export growth and domestic growth?
In half-yearly, the export has degrown by almost 12-13%. That is mainly on account of two things. One is the rates, freight rates are higher, so the export potential comparatively in few of the countries is difficult. And second is the margins are, this margins, average realization have come down marginally due to the reduction of polymer prices.
I didn't get how much export has declined first half?
Close to 12-13%.
Okay, so basically domestic would have grown really fast.
Yes.
And your outlook on the export and your outlook on the capacity that you're adding?
Sarji?
What will be outlook on the export growth? And
I'm
what
sorry,
will be
sir,
progress?
Can you use your handset mode? Your voice is not very clear.
Yes. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, this outlook for the overall sales growth from volume point of view is in line with what we have projected, 12% CAGR kind of a growth we are anticipating, and that second half should also support that projection. Now on the export front, we see that this challenge should continue in the second half also, because seed rates are not coming down, they are still very firm, and because of that our viability to export goes down. And that is the story going to be in the second half as well.
What's your progress on capacity expansion?
Capacity expansion, we are as last time we discussed that we have already acquired a piece of land. Now on that, the construction is yet to start, but we are adding some capacity for XLP side. This should come in place in the first half of next year. This year, we will be able to utilize the 100% capacity, close to 100% of the capacity installed for XLP size.
Okay, so greenfield will come second half.
Yeah.
And the extent
Not second half of this year. Not second half of this year, first half of the next year.
So greenfield will come first half of next year, and until that you have a XLP capacity expansion like that, right?
Yeah, see, current capacity which we have for XLP, that should be good enough to the meet our demand for this financial year.
But have you got your approvals and your product ramp-ups and all in XLP?
See, for example, HFFR, if you see that this first half, the capacity utilization rate has reached 50%. Okay, so we are getting the improved volume from HFFR, which was the new product. On the XLP side, the only one product where we were looking for approval and new launch is 132 kV, which we already said that it would be happening during the category in 2025.
I'm sorry, sir, your voice was sounding muffled. Can you just repeat the last part?
Yeah. So I say that on HFFR, which is a new product, where approvals are playing an important role to increase the volume, there our the volumes have grown to the 50% of the capacity, which means we are getting enough approvals to support our this capacity. And on another side, on XLP side, we were talking of a new product launch of 132 kV that we updated in the last meeting also, and we repeat the same that this product will be launched during the calendar year 2025.
Okay. Can you just give your volume target for FY25? What should be your overall volume?
Our target is 185,000 to 186,000.
Oh, thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Kunal Oshiramani from Kitara Capital. Please go ahead.
So I wanted to understand how will the demand flow for next 2-3 years for our company, and how do you see the EBITDA per kg for next 2-3 years?
Raji?
So the demand scenario is as we have projected in the opening remark. Again, there's highlighted, and Mr. Deshwaran also highlighted that we are looking for a 12% CAGR. So the market conditions are good enough to support that projection of 12% CAGR growth in the volume terms, because the top line revenue could be depending upon where the raw material prices are. So the top line from the revenue may move here and there, but volume growth, definitely we are looking for a CAGR of 12% for next 2-3 years, and market is supporting that projection. And looking at this EBITDA level. If you look at our presentation, this quarter and this half, we have maintained EBITDA level quarter basis compared to what we have achieved the peak number in 2024. We feel that we will be able to maintain this range.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Apurva Shah from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I just want to understand on the volume front. So if you look at the domestic cable revenue, then it's far better than our 3% volume growth for the current quarter. So just curious, if you can just bifurcate between domestic and export, and can we just help us to understand for like-to-like for cable business, what could be our volume growth? So that would be very easy to understand from our story perspective.
So on a volume front, if you see the numbers of 82,000 last year versus 91,000 this year, first half, around 67,000 for this particular year has been contributed by the variant, specifically the XLP segment. I am not talking about detailed wire and cable, I am just giving you a highlight, which is 20% Y on Y growth as compared to first half last year. What has come down? The anti-fab business, which is a low margin, low volume business.
Mr. Apurva asked the question, particularly on the cable side, the breakup of the growth or degrowth in domestic and export. So the number which you are reporting for the XLP group, there is overall growth compared to last year, but how much growth has come from the local and how much of the growth has been lost on the export? If you can give that data, then it will answer the question of Mr. Shah. Mr. Shah,
I want to first explain him why he is finding a lower volume growth, because the volume reduction has happened in the anti-fab section and it has grown in the XLP segment. So on an average basis, you are finding a lower volume growth of 3%. But on item-to-item basis, volume growth is first half has been at 20% as compared to last year. This is the first point I wanted to address.
Yes, please. As Rajesh said, I was more interested in like what could be the volume lost in export, and in that case, what could be the like-to-like domestic volume growth for the cable and wire industry? That was my simple point, what Rajesh said.
So that data
is readily available? Then
not readily available immediate basis. We will get back to you on this.
Okay. And sir, when we are guiding for 12% volume growth, so is it still considering the current difficult situation in the export market? So that whatever difficulty we are seeing in the export side, that we can mitigate from the domestic growth. So that's why still that 12% volume growth is, we are confident, right?
Yes, yes. We are confident of 12% growth overall, because as the export, we are facing challenges. And we, as we have said in the earlier remark, that we see the same challenges prevailing in the second half as well. But we see a very strong demand pull from the domestic side. So it will offset the losses on the export side.
Got it. And so just final thing, one clarity on the, like, obviously on the realizers front, it would be direct correlation. But on the EBITDA per kg side, so I think this quarter is one of the better quarter compared to, like, last quarter. So going forward, maybe if you can just throw some light on the EBITDA per kg, considering the kind of product mix we are envisaging. So that 14.4 or maybe including other income, what we are reporting, maybe 15.4 rupees. So will that trajectory will be maintained going forward?
See, if you look at the last quarter, now
I'm sorry, sir, you're sounding muffled.
Yeah, see, if you look at the last quarter, our EBITDA went down compared to the previous quarters, and we explained that it was because of higher freight cost. Our export collection went down. Now, if you look at this quarter, the export share has went down. So the hit on account of higher sea freight has been mitigated, and the local volumes, the margin level has been maintained as projected. So you will see that margins are more or less, EBITDA per ton basis more or less are maintained. And we foresee that with the looking at the headwind and tailwind which will emerge in the second half, but we say that this mean number we are confident of achieving in the second half as well.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Next question is from the line of Suhag Sanghvi from Hekasuru Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Madam, my first question is when Vilayat plant will start? And second question is what margin of net profit we expect in coming new 3 years?
So on margin front, we have already given our guidance that we are expecting to maintain this current levels of margin levels of 10 to 12% of EBITDA. We are not specifically commenting on the net profit, but we are specifically giving a guidance on the EBITDA front. And as far as the Vilayat plant is concerned, as Mr. Kothari highlighted, this is expected only in the next financial year, first half.
Yes, financial. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead. Mr. Saket Kapoor?
Yeah, namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, on the CapEx front, could you please elaborate what we have outlined for the current 2 years? For this year, what is the CapEx? that we are going through and for the next financial year and the capacity addition therefore?
So this year we have targeted to acquire one land in Bhilad, which is in near Vapi, and then we will go ahead for the, once the acquisition entire process is complete, then we'll go ahead for the construction, and then there are few machines to be ordered for that. For the next financial year, we have planned to add HFFR and XLP capacity in that plant only for some additional quantities. As far as the outlay is concerned, current year we have already committed close to 50 odd crores, and we are in process of, rather the target is to add another 50 to 60 odd crores of commitment. It may not be outlaid in the current financial year, but the commitment will be there. For the next couple of years, another 125 to 150 odd crores has been committed.
Okay, and this will all go through the internal accruals only?
Yes, yes.
Sir, as of the first half, our CWIP, the capital work in progress, closing balance is 7 crore.
Mm-hmm.
So, bulk of the expenditure will happen in H2 only?
Yes, because that is all our commitment basis. The major, these are sort of advances you are finding over there. This will convert into actual payments once the deliveries happen.
Hmm. So when we look at the EBITDA per ton numbers, this has improved to 15,250 rupees range mein for the quarter two. So taking into account the benign raw material prices and our product mix, sir, ye kaisa trend rahega for H2 in terms of EBITDA per ton?
Mr. Kothari has already given his outlook on this, that we have seen a downside in the first quarter only because of the higher freight rates. Now, since the export is comparatively lesser as compared to the domestic, rather, we can say this way, we have diverted the material from export to domestic to have the right EBITDA mix. So, we are able to achieve 15,000 plus of EBITDA in this particular quarter. So, we expect to maintain this with the current ongoing prices, and with the reduction in prices, you can only see that the average realization has come down, but that has also helped the reduction of overall working capital utilization.
So, sir, last year our average was 16,900 rupees per ton.
Mm-hmm.
First quarter was 13,900. Second quarter is 15,300. Just approximate number. So for H2, taking into account our thrust mainly on the domestic segment and mitigating the sea fares part of onto it, what should be the trajectory for the average for H2 and for the year?
I will come in. You can expect closer to 15,000 rupees per ton basis.
Okay, H2 average will be 15,000.
Yeah.
Okay, and for the volume, sir, the tonnage will be?
We are targeting 186,000 to 187,000 tons.
So 91,000 we already done in the first half. So second half, if you extrapolate, 186 means 95,000 additional volume for the second half.
Correct, sir. And sir, when we look at your slide for the focus area segment, wherein you have outlined entering into looking for the 220 kV compounding part and then the US market, if you could just elaborate on the same, where are we in terms of those fructifying in the near future?
On the higher voltage application launches, 132 kV and 220 kV, we have discussed it in earlier discussions also. These are high-end product, and the launch cycle takes too long a time. So as in the earlier answer to the first question, I said that 132 kV launch is lined up for 2025 calendar year, and then we will discuss about 220 kV launch and all. Now coming to US market, yes, we are putting our effort. We are already doing the export by proxy to US. But direct export effort is suffering at the moment due to very high sea rates. That is why it will take a bit of time till the freight rates come to a normal situation. And now we have to watch what kind of duty structure we come up. If they put the protection duties, then our plan will have to be recalibrated according to that.
Correct, sir. And sir, one small observation, pardon me if I'm incorrect there. So we have we always find our results to be at the penultimate day or at the very stag end of the earnings season. So any particular reason that we do not have any foreign subsidiaries wherein the data needs to be accumulated at the stag end. So why do our results come only on the penultimate day, 13th or 14th of the ensuing quarter? So it is it's almost half the quarter has passed for the current quarter. And the gap is, so just wanted to understand the rationale.
Actually, this quarter specifically, there has been a lot of festive holidays. So our auditors were getting less time to complete their jobs. That is the reason we have to come down to the last few days. Otherwise, if you see, we try to do at least 10 days or 15 days prior to the dates. Generally, within 1 month or 35, 37 days.
Previous quarter was also on 13th August, sir, if I correct me there also. Last time also for the June quarter, we did it on the penultimate day. So that was my observation. So kindly try to put forward the numbers for the investing community. Also, it will be good to track. We are in an interesting space, and that rejuvenates also, keeps the interest also, and good corporate governance also. So these are factors that get you notches up in the investing circle. So that was my observation. Kindly look to get the right auditor, right team of people who can accommodate you, because this festive season is not only for DDEV, it is for the entire community. And people are coming up with numbers earlier also. That was my humble suggestion. I hope the board will take note of and deliberate on the merit of the same. As we are doing the con call, we are coming up with presentation, we are speaking to investors. So in that line, we should also come up with our number much, much earlier than what we are coming up, what have been the practice yesterday. Thank you, sir. I'll join the queue for follow.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Manas from Xylem Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on the America direct export. So any timeline on this, when we can expect direct export to the America?
No, it is work in progress kind of a thing. Our efforts are on. It is very difficult to put a date to this, but we are working on the direction.
Yes, because our export volumes are also kindly degrowth due to this shipping problem. So that's yes.
Yeah.
And second question is right. So you mentioned the volume of 1,86,000 for this year. So if we kindly calculate the revenue burden to this number, our top line will be 2,400 crores this year. So this will be flat as compared to the previous year.
Yes.
You were sounding muffled, sir. Can you just repeat, please?
So as Arians has already cleared it multiple times during this call, that due to drop in the raw material prices, we have to pass on the raw material drop to the customer immediate basis. So the realization per ton has gone down, and that is why, despite the volume growth, you will see the revenue not grow for any year. This has already been answered by
you. We are losing you again.
Yeah, Arian, can you please?
So any guidance on revenue per ton, when will this improve? Within the H2, or you expect this continue to H1 FY26?
We expect that what has been average in the quarter 2 will be the bottom. We don't see a major further reduction from here.
Okay, so H2 will be better, right?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, sir. That's
thank
all.
You. We'll take our next question from the line of Suhag Sanghvi from Hekasuru Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving me this opportunity again. Thank you. I just want to know the last on September 2023 inventory level was negative 338, and the current on September 2024 the inventory level is 1,185. So why is that this inventory level is negative, and that is that giving a rising profit?
Sir, it's a change in change in the opening and closing stock of finished goods, which is highlighted from this. is not negative. This is the impact of the change in inventory positions. And this is, technically, if you ask me, doesn't impact profitability at all.
Okay. But do we consider that negative inventory means you already have orders in the hand for that product, for the for that inventory?
Yes. We do have orders in hand for this particular. It's an inventory of only close to 35, 36 odd crores, and that is hardly a sale of less than 3-4 days.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Aman Vishwakarma from PhillipCapital PCG. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I just had a couple of questions. So to start with, what is our demand outlook in the HFFR segment? And how big is the domestic market size currently? If you could just throw some light on that.
Raji?
Yeah, so HFFR demand, if you look at the from the capacity utilization number from the presentation, we are already at a capacity utilization level of 50%. So demand is improving and
Hello.
Now, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So as this product requires approvals and approval cycle takes longer time, so by now we are having enough approval to use our 50% capacity. And we see that demand is very strong. And in next, say, 2 quarters, by end of this year or maybe first quarter of next financial year, our full capacity utilization will come from HFFR side. Now, coming to the domestic demand side, exact number is difficult to put in because we are not worth the numbers again. Whatever the projection, whatever the numbers which have been presented earlier have not been reworked. But the bottom line is that as the solar installation grows, the HFFR demand is bound to grow. And that is where our outlook is very positive for this product segment.
Okay, thanks. And the next question would be on our new product development. So I believe there was a mention of 132 kilovolt wires, right? So
yes.
When are we expecting to launch that product?
See, the difficulty for that product launch is that you need to have some customer to be tying up with you to make the cable. And the demand is so strong that we have not been able to get a time allocation with our customers. We have already tied up with two. We are committed that they will meet the cable and do the testing. But unfortunately, demand situation is so strong that they have not been able to spare their machine time for this trial. And that is why it is taking time. And looking at the second half being stronger period for the cable guys, we see that it will be a challenge to get those cable made and tested. That is why in my earlier comment, I said that this is due for launch in calendar year 2025.
Okay, and so just if you could quickly touch upon the 220 kilovolt also, I believe the approvals are pending, right?
No, 220 kV we will not go until unless we gain commercial acceptance for 132 kV. It is a process going one ladder up at a time.
Okay, got it. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Anshul Sehgal from Sehgal Capital Advisors, LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I want to know what proportion of revenues were exports in the current quarter?
Exports?
Yes, what proportion of total revenues were exports? So if volumes that we've done are 91,000 tons in the first half, then what proportion was exports? How much was domestic of that 91,000?
Oh, you want in quantitative terms, just a second. In value terms, it was 22% on
exports.
Yeah. Okay. And in volume terms is also close to 22% only.
Okay. And this number in FY24 was higher than this?
Yeah, comparatively higher. Even the first quarter have been a bit higher. But in the second quarter, if you are having a direct correlation, then there was war escalations as well as higher rates in the international, this Red Sea crisis and everything. In the international market, the freight rates were very high. And then in September month specifically, the war escalations were multiple times. So that has led to reduction of export by close to 1,000 plus tons. That is the main reason why you can see the downward trend is there.
Okay, so our exports in the range of, say, in a normal year, are they in the range of 25% to 30% of revenues?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if our expectation is to do 185,000 to 186,000 ton volume in the current year, how much of this are we estimating domestic volumes to be?
With the current proportion, we can say that this 20% to 22% will be maintained, and balance diverted to the domestic area. So proportionately, you can ask me on a broader sense, 72% to 75% will be the domestic, and 22% to 25% will be the rather 25% to 28% will be the export.
So which means that in the second half, exports as a proportion of revenues will go up.
Partially, for some percentages, a couple of percent you can say.
Okay. Now, in which case, if we are building in a 12% growth for volumes in the next year, what kind of growth in domestic are we building in? Because, and why I'm asking this question is that if exports were to revive next year, that is, sea freight was to come down, then, you know, given how the domestic market is growing, actually this 12% volume growth number looks quite conservative. Because you will also have the added leg of exports.
There are here, Aryan, let me come.
Okay.
See, the headwind and tailwind will emerge. Okay. We really cannot say that the domestic will continue to do as well as it is doing today. Okay. And we cannot say that export will have the same challenge which is having today. Because in export area, on one way, the challenge may drop in form of sea freight again turning to be genuinely in the right range. But we see a challenge in form of the duties coming up on the exports to USA. If that happens, then the cable export and the cable compound export, both will have a viability issue. So these are the things which are in the future. We are really taking considering that there will be some headwinds, new headwinds, and there is some new tailwinds. That will balance it out, and that is why we are projecting only 12%.
Got it.
Just to add, your volume growth question was there. A minor, you can say, volume-driven answer. We have grown at the rate of 18% for the last 2 years in the specific XLP segment. Whilst overall you see a volume growth of 16% and 5% for 24-23 respectively. So what we want to portray or convey a message is that we are diverting capacities towards XLP, and XLP is growing at much faster rate, which is commensurate or you can say in aligned with the domestic or international market, specifically the wire and cable we are targeting. Yes, there are headwinds as Mr. Kotari has specifically highlighted. But on volume front, when you see the overall numbers, you are getting diverted. The right number visibility will be comparing XLP to XLP, which is in the wire and cable segment.
Okay, great. Now, Mr. Savana mentioned earlier that 15,000 rupees per ton is the average EBITDA that he expects in the second half. Is this the normalized EBITDA over the long term? Because the first quarter was slightly weak, second quarter was strong. In the last year, we were even stronger than that. We were at about 16,000 plus. What will be the normalized EBITDA per ton in the long term? Also, this question becomes relevant given that XLP as a proportion of sales is going up. And I assume XLP is a higher margin business than the remaining Sioplast, etc.
So yes. We have already given our guidance on this. Just before a couple of questions, Kotariji also portrayed this, that we are targeting a EBITDA per kg of 14 to 15 rupees and 15 being very close right now. We have been able to achieve 15 plus in this particular quarter. Last quarter was close to 14. On an average, it is close to 14.5. But we are, for this financial year, we are targeting to achieve at least average of 15. And on a broader sense, 14 to 15 is something which is achievable.
even if XLPE and HFFR grow as a proportion of sales, still this kind of a number is what we should anticipate, not a higher number.
We are at
same level. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Neeru Demani from SNS Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi team. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to know about our CAPEX plans and, you know, what are the timelines and the targets for the same.
Though we discussed just now, we are going ahead with our original CAPEX plan, wherein we have already committed close to 50 odd crores in this financial year, and with a few more capacity addition targets, it will be another 40-50 crores in this particular financial year of commitment. Next 2 years will be another close to 100 plus crores of commitment. This is what we are targeting. On a capacity front, we are targeting to add capacity of 25,000 tons of XLP from 25 financial year to 27, and 15,000 tons of HFFR in this 3 financial years.
So that means we are on track, right?
Sorry, me?
We're very much on the track.
Yes.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Ajinkya Jadhav from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding U.S. exports. In the last con call, we highlighted that we are expected to get UL approval by the end of FY25. Can you provide some status on this?
Yes, we are having one approval in hand. Another is in the process. So we targeted to have 3 approvals. So one is already there. And another, we hope that it takes around 6 months time. We have submitted the sample in the month of November itself. So we expect that another approval should be available by end of the year.
Okay. And this approval is for, let's say, different for HFFR, different for XLP, or like?
There are specification numbers given by the underwriter's laboratory there. And according to that, you have to take the approval. So it is different for different products.
Got it. Regarding HFFR, as far as I understand, government has not formulated any policy yet. So are we taking up to any ministry, to the government, to, you can say, push them to formulate the policy?
Arjun, would you answer this?
Regarding HFFR.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying that, has the government
No, we are not lobbying for any increased uses of HFFR, because there are so many people already working on it. Okay.
Okay. And regarding the polymer prices, how is the trend as of now? Like you said, why and why the prices are subdued. So going ahead, what do you feel about the polymer prices?
Polymer prices are close to their bottom. It means we do not see any significant drop unless you see a very severe drop in the oil prices, oil and gas prices, basically.
Okay. And the last question regarding, you said the exports challenge will persist in the second half as well. So, will it revive in next year, financial year, like FY26?
Yeah, it should. It should, because the sea freight had been abnormally high in last 1 year. That has impacted the global trade. So we see that this situation should ease out by middle of next year, middle of next calendar year, means by the June quarter.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Suhag Sangvi from Hekasaru Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Sir, our company's paid up share capital is about 10 crore and authorized share capital is about 15 crore. As a shareholder, can we expect one bonus share for every 2 years, 2 shares within 2 to 3 years? First question. Second question is, as Mr. Surana said on his interview on television, that company is expecting rupees 5,000 crore turnover within financial year 2030 and profit margin expecting 10 to 12%. Then within 5 years, how much company's growth and as a shareholder, how much can we expect price on market?
Mr. Singhvi, you may have to ask the question again. Probably Arian might have not heard.
Yeah, madam. My first question is, as we know that the company's paid up share capital is about 10 crores and authorized share capital is 15 crores. As a shareholder, can we expect one bonus share for every two shares in future? And second question is, as Mr. Surana told on television, that company is expecting rupees 5,000 crore turnover in financial year 2030 and profit margin expecting about 10 to 12%. At that time, profit, I think that profit will go about 600 crore. Then how much, as a shareholder, how much market price can we expect in financial year 2030?
Good afternoon, this is N.K. Surana. Rather good morning. See, what market will decide about the price, we have no comment on that. Okay. I can only say that whatever we committed, that we will achieve a turnover of 5,000 crore by 2030, we will definitely achieve that, you know. That is for pretty sure. And so far as the bonus is concerned, you have made a suggestion. We will think about it. We will deliberate among our board member at an appropriate time. There is no commitment. There is no thought process on this at this moment. As and when there will be a thought process, we'll let you know. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Sir, firstly, if you could give us some color on the RM prices, you said that they are at the bottoming. So, what is our RM basket constituent of?
It's mainly the polymers. Polymers and PVC resin is the main RM basket. And polymers is broadly the polyethylene-based polymers and polypropylene-based polymers.
Okay, and what are the price trends, sir? Currently, crude prices are trending lower. So, are the derivatives of crude, the polymers prices are stable, or what's the trend likely?
Kothari ji?
Yeah, see, it depends on the poly, not only the crude, but the gas prices also, because crude and gas both are used as a raw material for this application. And another factor is demand supply. So we see that the prices remaining in this range, not firming up too much and not going down too much, because the raw material price, crude and gas prices are such that they are not leaving any scope for the polymer supplier to drop the prices further. And demand supply scenario is such that they are not going to allow the polymer suppliers to raise the prices drastically. So it is that on balance is going to remain in the same range in coming couple of quarters.
We heard that Reliance is also coming up with a big PVC complex in the year 2026-27. So how should we read this information being connected to a business dynamic for our and the cable sector, the PVC segment?
So Rana Saab probably can answer in a better way on this.
Just a second. Can you please repeat the question once again?
Yes, sir. Reliance is coming up with a big PVC complex, which they have announced in their AGM in the year 2026-27. How will this capacity will change the dynamic for PVC compound consuming companies like us, sir?
No. See, they have announced PVC. In any case, we are short in supply and production in our country actually. So that will bridge the gap only, the shortage gap, you know. And our company is making PVC compound also, but there is a very small part actually to see. Basically, we are dependent on SDP, LLDP and LDP. Okay, and in any case, our country is importing, you know, I think 1.5 million tons of PVC resin every year. And by every passing year, that demand and supply gap is increasing. So they will only build that demand supply gap.
So currently we are sourcing it, what portion are we sourcing domestically and how much are we importing our raw material requirement?
No, we see LLDP, SDP and LDP our country is self-sufficient. But even then, depending on that pricing strategy and all, we are importing also. But for PVC is concerned, we have a we buy from Reliance and we import also. Okay.
Okay, so what the EBITDA margin improvement which we have seen Q1Q from 10 to 12% is mainly on account of this benign raw material prices and lower export mix. This is what the this is what contributed to the increase in EBITDA.
Increase in EBITDA in percentage terms. See, percentage has changed because the revenue per ton has dropped. So if you look at the percentage of the revenue, then EBITDA percentage looks to be improved. But if you look at per ton basis, yes, there is a slight improvement in quarter two compared to quarter one. And quarter one was lower because we had a hit on account of higher export and where the sea freight was high. In second quarter, the exports are a little lower compared to first quarter. That is why the hit on account of higher sea freight is less. That is why the EBITDA improved in the second quarter compared to first quarter. But on percentage terms, the improvement is mainly attributed to lower realization per ton basis.
Okay, and H2 will have higher component of export, means on an year-on-year basis, so if we take our export number for FY24, what was the export mix and what is the current export mix for H1?
Last year, this year is close to 23% in this particular period, whilst when you talk about the last year, as far as the percentage of export is concerned, it was around 25-odd%.
Okay. So it's in the similar level only. For H2 also, we are eyeing this percentage to maintain?
Yes, yes. See, it is a couple, see, it is a range of, I would say, it is a range of 22 to 26%. Now, it will be remaining in that range. At times, it could be 21 also, but this range only. A couple of percent is here and there. It is very difficult to be very precise.
Yes, sir. Yes. And just one suggestion, when we are giving in our investor presentation the production volume, we are providing N1 number and the H1 number. So if we can provide the quarterly numbers and the comparable there, that would suffice a lot of our understanding, sir. Slide number 14, wherein we have given production volumes in and product-wise segment split, wherein a quarterly breakup and a comparative number would definitely add value to it, sir. So kindly look into the merit.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for elaborating and very candid answers. And we hope that the suggestions would be looked into. Thank you.
Just to add to what Sakshi has said, if you can refer to slide number 21, there we have already given our quarterly this quantities just for comparatives.
Okay, sir. I'll refer that. Sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take our next question from the line of Dolly Chaudhary from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity, sir. I just had one follow-up question regarding the raw material price trend. So I believe our highest raw material contribution is from LDP. So I wanted to understand the price trend from last year to this year and as well for the last quarter. What would be the percentage fall in the raw material prices?
I can talk about the general trend, but precise yes. Number how much drop is there, that is something again you have to check up and then report back.
Uh-huh.
The general trend has been downward for last 4-5 quarters, but exactly how much drop has happened means the precise number is not there. We'll work it out and we'll let you know.
Oh, sure. So thank you. That will be all.
Yeah.
All the best. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you.
So I take up this opportunity. Thank you so much for your time. We had fruitful discussion and interaction. We look forward to the to your continued support and guidance. In case if there are any unanswered questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.